Introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise. And with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.
No role plays, just real. Chris and Lorenzo share four decades of combined experience to help you become a more effective leader.
We've never really, as a workforce, spent a lot of time on making sure we're developing good leaders.
We'll be able to share stories, experience, mistakes, failures, successes.
This is Hacking Your Leadership.
Welcome to Hacking Your Leadership. I'm Chris.
And I'm Lorenzo.
And Lorenzo, there's an article trending on LinkedIn right now called Want to Hire Gen Z? Caregiving is a Must. It's by Caroline Fairchild, and she's an editor at LinkedIn News. And I read the article. It's pretty cool. I try to read a lot of what is trending on LinkedIn each day. But this one's particular got me thinking about a conversation that started between you and I think more than 15 years ago now, around the things that companies should do or that they do or don't do in order to, you know, kind of attract and retain talent from a benefit standpoint, or what a lot of people would just call perks. And I think there's been a lot of evolution in this conversation and this topic over the years. And I'm kind of wondering how you think this fits in with the return to work movement and kind of trying to get the right people working for your organization in a post-pandemic world. Did you see the article, and do you have any thoughts about this?
Yeah, no, I also saw the article and kind of read through it, and was also recalled back to that 6-foot by 8-foot small little office with a big desk and a whiteboard.
Yeah.
And if I recall, you know, our conversation and dialogue was around, you know, what are the things that in the, you know, if a company could do anything, if leaders could do anything, what are the benefits that they would provide and offer to employees that really actually matter? Because I think, you know, we were having a conversation around, you know, outside of the scope of things like compensation and stuff like that. We were talking about development and growth, and then we kind of went down this path and benefits. And as I read this article, that's, you know, similar thoughts that I had, was just thinking about the importance of benefits and how over time, these are really starting to become more and more of a differentiator in regards to how people choose to select an organization to work for. And, you know, we see everything now, I think, with the kind of the tech boom in organizations that offered things like, you know, slides and ping pong tables and food and catering and, you know, the ability to do sabbaticals and just, you know, time to express your creativity while on the clock. Like, there was all these things that kind of happened. But I think that at the core of it, you know, we're starting to see more and more things around, like, you know, continuing education and childcare and health benefits, mental health benefits. There's so many things that are happening that I think this is a really important conversation to have. And especially if you're, you know, a leader and leader of people, the importance of knowing benefits and tagging benefits with people as they need them. I just think this is a really important topic, especially as you mentioned, as people return to work. I think these things are more top of mind now than ever before.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that are happening right now because of the pandemic fallout. And what I mean by that is that, you know, there's always a balance between, you know, who needs whom more. Do the employers need the employees more, or do the employees need the jobs more? And that can change from, you know, from time to time. And in a job market where there's, you know, thousands and thousands of open jobs, then a lot of times the prospective employees have the leg up. And in a down job market where there's not very many jobs, then oftentimes the employers have the leg up. And right now is kind of like this transition period where I think there's there are a lot of organizations who are really trying to find their place in this, because on the one hand, you have some organizations who are deciding that, all right, it's back to work as normal. And there are some employees who are giving some pushback because of that, and who don't want to come back. They've gotten used to, work from home environment. And there are some employees who are really chomping at the bit to get back to the office because they feel like they're missing that collaboration. And so there's for the first time in a long time, there's not this one size fits all of, oh, this is the right thing to do. It really depends on the type of talent you're trying to attract. A lot of it is generational. There are a lot of people out there who, depending on where they are in their lives and their careers, they value the work from home more versus valuing working in the office, working in a collaborative environment where you're in the same room with a lot of people more. And I think where we see this kind of like divide is in the area of working parents versus not. And this article touches on that a lot, because there's definitely a movement by working parents to say, wait a minute, I don't want to go back to the office. I'm good where I am. And then there are a lot of people who are much earlier in their careers, people who, right out of college and who don't have children yet, who are saying, wait a minute, I kind of liked being in this kind of collaborative environment where they could do the whiteboards that you and I used to do together. And they're kind of missing that. They want flexibility. They don't want to be forced to sit in a cubicle for, 40 plus hours a week. But the idea of not being in an office is just not acceptable to them. I think companies are really struggling to try to navigate this, because most companies are multi-generational companies. Most companies want people in the workforce that range between the right out of college or maybe still in college all the way up to senior level, positions. And it's really impossible to do a one-size-fits-all thing. And so there's definitely a lot of work that companies can do to try to figure out how to meet people where they are.
Yeah, I can tell with you, like as in my personal experience, I'm in the transition now where my two girls are beginning school in kindergarten and things like that. And that changes the dynamic of, how and where I want to be able to see them, how I want to support them, the activities that they do. And so I think that that's also a thing to besides the multi-generational, I think that the seasons of people's lives and as they, begin working, establish families at whatever age, and then kind of have to work through that, so much now is about organizations. You want the best talent. As a leader, I want the absolute best talent. I want the people that are motivated to want to do well. I want people that want to invest in themselves and their development. And if those same people have other things like childcare and family support and stuff like that outside of work, then I would feel like we would want to do whatever we can to figure that out, because that if you shut off that part of a recruiting strategy, or just you're not flexible enough to figure things out, or don't have the proper benefits to support those types of situations, then you're really chopping off a good chunk of an amazing workforce of people that can add a ton of value. And I've seen that in full-time, and I've seen that in part-time. I've seen people that work part-time hours, but they are hugely impactful to a business, to a team, to a culture, to an environment. And that's okay. That's great. You want to fill your team with people that are helping to make the team and the business better. And then all the other factors are things that, you kind of have to work through. But I think that this is what this article is talking about. And this is the dialogue that's up front, is that, what are you doing? And there are some organizations that are really going out ahead of the curve here to realize that if they don't adjust or evolve or add in additional benefits or whatnot, they're going to lose a portion of that working market.
Yeah, I think back to when I was working a corporate HR job at a company, and one of the things that they provided, or I wouldn't say provided, because you still had to pay for it, was childcare, and you had to pay for it on your own. But the childcare was on campus; it was at the office with where you did work, and the wait list to get your child into this in some times was 2 or 3 years. There were people who, you know, you had parents finding out that they were expecting a child, and you know, before they even called their parents to tell them, they were calling the phone number of saying, when can I get on the wait list? Because they knew they were going to be wanting it, you know, at some point, you know, maybe 6 months after the child is born, and they're trying to get on the wait list as soon as they could. And the reason why it was so hard to get in was because it wasn't about the money, because it was expensive to get there. It was that it was on campus. It was connected to the business, and it went as long as the business was open. And so you could come to, you take your kids to the office and drop them off at the you know, childcare, the daycare, and then you go to your work. And when you're done with work for the day, you come and pick up your kids and go home. And if you want to go see them when you're on a lunch break or you have time between meetings, you can go see them, you know, and they're, because they're, you know, in the same kind of general area. And it was hugely popular because of that. The article talks more about when it says caregiving is a must, it's from a financial standpoint. It's providing that as a benefit or a perk. But it's not one size fits all from a standpoint of, oh, it's just about more money. Of course, everybody wants more money. Everybody wants more resources to do more with. But you can't just say, oh, okay, what does it cost to have childcare covered? All right, let's just add that to the compensation package. That's not what it is. It's about kind of greasing the wheels to facilitate it happening and how it integrates within the expected work outcomes of your employees. So it's, yes, part of it is financial, but part of it is that the work done on this front comes with an understanding and an acceptance that this is a huge part of your employees' lives, and therefore you must figure out how to make sure that you are allowing it to integrate into whatever you're expecting out of them from a work standpoint.
Yeah, I think it's a great point. It's a reminder that, like, if there's two ways that most organizations or leaders can kind of work through something like this. And I think the first way is you're proactive. You realize that this is a thing. You realize that there's something that can be done or should be done that makes sense for both the organization and for, you know, the employees. And, you know, all the data will point out that, you know, organizations that have more diversity will have 19% more innovative revenue because, again, just different thoughts, experiences, backgrounds provide for better ideas and better strategies. That just makes sense. And I think that so some organizations will do that. Like, they'll be proactive and they'll say, hey, this is a thing. We have some people that work for us currently that are trying to figure this out. Plus, we want to be able to attract the best talent out there. And this might be something that that matters to them, that we can provide support and that gives them an opportunity to come and choose to work here. And then you have the organizations that will maybe even say, like, we'll just kind of like let this lay out. We'll see what happens. You know, we'll try to deal with this on a case-by-case basis, or, you know, they'll be kind of forced to do it as the rest of the industry kind of move forward and create this type of a thing. I think we've seen that in a lot of organizations and things specifically like compensation, where you see that there's kind of this movement to, you know, raising the minimum pay for employees at different jobs. You see companies that run out front and say, we're going to go ahead and do that now because it matters to us. And we know that making this decision and showing our people that we want to be ahead of this also has a value, both for those that work for us and then also for those that may want to come here. And then, like, even the guy that, you know, changed the minimum pay for all the people in his organization, I think it was, what, $75,000 a year or whatever.
Yeah.
And it was, like, a big thing, and then it took a lot of heat. And then now looking back on it many, many, multi years later, still a great place to work, still a whole ton of you know, output, excitement, people showing up as their best. And I think that company continues to grow, you know, leaps and bounds. So I just think that it's one of those things where like this topic is not going away. And quite honestly, it shouldn't. You know, I think that to your point, that there's a lot of almost control with people that are looking for work to decide where they want to go. And if you're going to have a mixed bag of companies and leaders that are going to do something about it and be proactive, then that's going to provide options for people that that may not want to work for you or your organization if you're not, you know, making changes or evolving and considering these types of things for all the different generations.
Right. You're right. The person you're referring to is Dan Price. He's the CEO of Gravity Payments, that they're a credit card processing company. And what he basically was saying is that he sees the value in what happens when your best people don't ever want to leave. And when you're talking about getting out in front of something versus reacting to it, it's really easy to quantify the savings you're going to get by not getting out in front of it. To say, well, if we wait until everybody's doing it and then we have to do it too in order to make sure that we're, you know, able to hire, then look at all the savings that we have over the next 5 years by not doing it. But by that point, all of the employees who you'd ever want to work for you are working for other companies who did this first. And it's going to be really difficult to get that kind of talent. On the flip side, those people aren't going to leave you if you're the first one to do it. If you step out in front and do this, if it's part of your organizational culture to say, we understand this is important, not from a, what can I do specifically to attract and retain talent? It's what can I do to make sure I understand that my employees are not just supporting characters in my life and in my business, but rather each one of these people has their own very complex and multi-need life. And I need to figure out how I can best support that as a leader, because that's part of my job. If you approach it from that standpoint, you don't even have to ask the questions of what do we do to attract and retain the best talent. That just gets answered automatically. And if you do these things first, and regardless of what it is, it doesn't, if it's not childcare, it's something else, because there is something. And if you get to know your people in a way that relates to them, you'll know what it is for your organization or what things you can do. Getting out ahead of it and doing it first is the kind of thing that makes it so when other companies follow suit, because the culture is such that there's really no other way to go, your people at that point aren't going to leave you. You know, I don't want to speculate on numbers, but I'm guessing that Gravity Payments turnover is probably pretty low.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I think that it's something that I saw a recent article about it, and I want to say that was exactly correct. It was like they had picked up over time some amazing work, and they continue to grow hand over fist and be wildly successful. But you're spot on, is that once a company gets ahead of it and they're, you know, leading the way, well, when it eventually hits other organizations, it's no longer the new thing to go out there and tout. You know, you can't use that as a recruiting differentiator if other companies are already ahead and doing the work and providing those options and providing those benefits. So it's just not, I think it's the way to go. And I think that we're going to see more of it. And to your point, it's not just about childcare. As you started, the show today, we talked about kind of the work from home and the balance and what does that look like. There are many things that matter to a lot of people in the workforce. And as those things continue to bubble up collectively, and as you have leaders that are courageous enough to get ahead of this and provide these types of benefits and support to their people, it's no longer like everybody's not going to do it, so that's how we stop it being a thing. You're going to have these pockets in every industry where leaders will do it and they will take the step forward, and that's going to cause that to become the expectation over time.
And it's amazing how quickly it changes too. I mean, if you think about if a company said that, oh, work from home, work remotely in 2019, it'd be like, ooh, that's a perk. Could you imagine seeing, hey, here's a perk, work from home, and it's like July of 2020? They're not giving me anything that I'm not getting anywhere else, right? But as people start to go back and as companies decide how this is going to fit for them, it might become a big perk again. Like, hey, every other companies you might see out there, they don't know, they haven't said what the strategy is. Well, we're going to tell you right now, it's a work from home, or we've committed to doing this and this isn't going to change. It will become a perk again very soon.
Absolutely. And with that, it brings us to this episode's 1 minute hack. But first, a few words from our sponsors.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right, ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere. This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The 1 Minute Hack.
All right, for this episode's 1 Minute Hack, here's what I want you to do. If you're in a position where you have some control over your company's kind of perks and benefits, get really familiar with what is happening in your industry. Make sure you're on calls and you're doing research on what's going on and how you can kind of like be out in front of your competitors when it comes to offering certain things. For a lot of people listening today, though, that's not you. You're not kind of in a position of control over this, and you kind of just have to you live with what your company offers, and even though you can push for better, be very, very intimately familiar with every single benefit or perk your company offers so that you can speak to each one, to prospective employees or people you're recruiting. If you're out and about and you see talent and you think you want them to come work for you, you never know what types of objections or what types of things people are looking for in order to meet them where they are in their lives. And the more that you can speak to all of the benefits and perks that your company offers, the easier it's going to be able to have those conversations and to not have to say to prospective applicants or people you're interviewing, let me get back to you on that. I don't know what we can do. Not just being able to talk about them, but being able to talk about them well will show those potential applicants and recruits that not only can you answer their questions, but you're passionate enough about this topic where you had the answers ready to go. You didn't have to get back to them. That implies a level of importance in the culture that is something that will go a long way in terms of attracting and recruiting talent. So get intimately familiar with them. And if you can start to impact them, then do that too.
Absolutely. No, I think it's a great 1 Minute Hack and a reminder that, you know, as leaders, you know, understanding and being aware of all the things that are there and available for our people is imperative. You know, a big part of what we do is development and dialogue and conversations and growth and those types of things. But there are benefits for a reason. And I think they're super important to make sure that, you know, our people have everything that's available to them for all the times they may need them. So I do think it's a good time for leaders to really think about and review and understand what is available, not only for themselves, but also for their people.
I agree. And we'll link to the article by Caroline Fairchild in the podcast description. It's only about a 2 or 3 minute read, and it's worth it if you kind of want to get your head in this mindset of starting to have these conversations.
Yes, sir. And with that, it brings us to the end of this episode. This is Hacking Your Leadership. I'm Lorenzo.
And I'm Chris.
And we'll talk to you all next time.
Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.